There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
The conversation now is about ethical investing, investing in firms who do things you like or don't do things that you don't like, making sure that your money goes to somewhere you feel good about. We are joined by investment expert Andrew Hallam, the author of Millionaire Expat and Millionaire Teacher, a man who travels around the world teaching expats how to invest for themselves. Andrew, it's lovely to have you with us. Thanks for joining us. And you come to us this morning from Jakarta via Singapore? And the man gets around talking to teachers around the world, helping them to make sure that they protect their own futures. But let's look wider, I suppose, at protecting a bigger collective future. What does ethical investing mean for you?
It screens certain companies that don't adhere to, let's say, environmental standards. So earlier you and I were talking about the UN report that came out recently. And we're talking about the sustainability of this planet in terms of the ozone layer, in terms of our carbon footprints. And so sustainable investing is also known as green investing or ethical investing. And it's where we can invest in funds that are created out of companies or stocks or shares that adhere to certain environmental standards. So they're doing their part to ensure that their corporate carbon footprint is as small as possible.
Now, I've read your most recent book. And you like to keep things as lean and thin and unmessed with as possible. You don't like lots of highly paid fund managers getting involved in the funds you invest in and taking money. Surely choosing ethical companies involves some human input.
It does. So what will happen is a company like iShares or Vanguard, so these are the largest exchange-traded fund providers in the world. What they'll do is they will hire a third party to create an index of firms which adhere to ethical standards. And then they'll build the indexes based on those products. So they're still very diversified, but the weighting of those particular indexes are slightly different to what we would refer to as broad capitalization-based indexes.
Are they diversified enough for you? I mean, that is one of the things also you talk about, buying the whole of the market, rising tide, all boats rise, et cetera, et cetera. If we're narrowing it down to firms that just fit into certain areas, are we not increasing our own risk?
That depends on what you're doing. So if you're buying just very specific ETFs and you're deciding, well, I'm going to buy an exchange-traded fund that just deals with solar or just deals with wind, then you're absolutely right. You're increasing your risk and you're increasing the probability of not performing well because many of those companies aren't really all that profitable yet as businesses. So the standards, when I have looked at them, when I've looked at the iShares ethical exchange traded funds, they typically have more shares within them than the average actively managed mutual fund. So if you are a British investor, for example, you can buy a British ethical investment fund. Then you could add a global investment fund for global diversification, and then you can add a British bond market index as well. And so you could do likewise if you're Australian, if you're Canadian, if you're American. So they have Australian shares, ethical investment funds, Canadian shares, ethical investment funds, and they are diversified across a variety of different sectors.
I had a look yesterday. I couldn't see any one true definition of ethical investment, investing or investments. Different cultures view things in different ways and judge by regional, social or religious benchmarks. Are there any funds that are seen to be ethical globally measured against all major benchmarks for ethical investments?
And that's tough too, Malcolm, because so much depends on what your ethical standards are. And that's the challenge of this. And so when we do look at like a traditional ethical fund, it might include a company like McDonald's. And ethically, you could argue that McDonald's makes people fat. So, I mean, that's one of the arguments. So there are certain people that would say, geez, I don't want that in one of my portfolios. I don't want those shares. So it becomes challenging. There's no doubt about that. But it is interesting and somewhat stringent. It's very going to be very personal too for each individual in terms of what they might want to be investing in. Everybody's a little bit different. But I do think that these third party groups that put together these ethical funds, so they do their best to have a look at strong environmental standards, strong human rights records for the companies that are in the fund, strong labor standards, and strong diversity.
There seems to be a divide. There's a big argument at the moment in the States about what employees of companies think is ethical and the companies themselves. Last week, we saw that Google said it wouldn't be taking its bid for the JEDI project forward because it went against its AI principles published earlier this year, which said the firm would not engage in work that by design could spy on, injure, or kill people. An open letter said to be written by employees at Microsoft was published on Monday this week. It read, "Many Microsoft employees don't believe what we build should be used for waging war." But Amazon Chief Executive Jeff Bezos has said, "We are enthusiastically going to work with the US military. If big tech companies are going to turn their backs on the US Department of Defense, this country is going to be in big trouble." So a sort of divide almost between what the people working for the company see as ethical and the owners. And I'm guessing that it's the same in the investment world, that just there's so many different views. Who do you really listen to?
Yeah, it's challenging because also depending on the tenure of whoever's leading the company at the time as well. And so what's actually happening with the company at any given point in time. So we have to hope that these third parties that really have nothing to do with when they're putting together these ethical funds, they have nothing to do. They get paid essentially just to put these things together for firms like iShares or Vanguard. And so we have to hope that if a company crosses that line, we have to hope that they'll be dropping that from their ethical investment product because they won't really have a leg to stand on if, of course, the media is all in an uproar about something that they're doing, which can end up being environmentally hazardous, for example.
I guess it's the age-old question, isn't it, really? If you make something or a widget or a bit of software that could have military applications but doesn't necessarily, is that good or is that bad? How strictly do you follow these sort of these guidelines, these ethical guidelines for your own investing?
For me, at this stage, I don't. And that's part of the problem, I think, with a lot of us has become really complacent. So when I wrote Millionaire Expat, so many people ended up asking me, what about ethical investing? And so I started to research it then and put together portfolios in the book for Australians, Canadians, and for Brits, which followed ethical standards. But it was really something that woke me up. And it woke me up in different respects, too, because we can see that there are different things that we can do to help, obviously, help our planet. Things like, you know, eating less meat, having less, putting the air conditioning on a little bit lower than we might normally, LED lights, carpools, buying less stuff, flying less. So these are the things that I look at directly as aspects that I can control. And then I think what we can look at is as a society, if we're able to improve to make society a little bit better, ultimately the companies that adhere to these ethical principles will start to make greater and greater profits. So by being responsible in terms of our purchasing, in terms of our lifestyle, we can actually end up making more money overall by investing in the ethical products as well.
And that's the big question, isn't it? I mean, other than risk, one of the other big questions with ethical investing is whether or not there has to be a trade-off between doing things that make you feel good, that are in line with your principles, and making a profit.
Right. And when you look at the historical performance of ethical funds, they end up underperforming when we look at the index benchmarks, slightly underperforming broad-based indexes. And so much of this has to do with, well, how well are you actually able to sleep at night? So if we look at the United States, and they've had an ethical fund that's been around for a number of years, and it's performed about sort of 0.6% below what the standard S&P 500 has performed over the past 15-year period. That said, I think for residents at the UAE, these products are a fabulous alternative to the long-term structured products that are most prolifically sold here because for them, their fees are so incredibly high. We don't know, of course, what those products are, what the investments are actually invested in. So we have two things happening. We have investors potentially not being able to sleep at night because they're wondering, well, what am I invested in? And long-term, they're not going to beat inflation because the fees are so high.
Are we going to see more and more of these ethical funds, passive ethical funds with lower fees? I mean, I was looking at a recent YouGov poll, and they say that millennial savers are twice as likely as the generations before them to care about where their pensions are invested, for example, and to want their pensions to be invested responsibly. Are we going to see more demand from younger people?
Yeah, there's no doubt. These things are becoming really popular. And so especially among millennials who are looking at, all right, what's the carbon footprint here? And they want to be able to sleep well at night and make a profit. So one thing that really impresses me is actually the British. Usually, I mean, when I wrote that book, Millionaire Expat, and I was putting together socially responsible portfolios, I ended up getting most of my queries from British investors. And if we look at the London Stock Exchange, they have a variety of low-cost, socially responsible exchange-traded funds, the likes of which, in many cases, you don't see on, let's say, even the New York Stock Exchange. So I'm really optimistic about it.
Is there a bit of a backlash in there? I mean, we've seen emissions scandals. We've seen, you know, a lot of outrage over executive pay. Do you feel like some of this is a backlash to the headlines?
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, it's most definitely a backlash to the headlines or a backlash to some of the realities. And so when we look at something like, I mean, the big one here that we can't ignore, that elephant in the room really is the environment. And so that backlash of putting profits ahead of carbon footprint, I mean, this has been happening now for a long time. And we have to reverse that trend so that we don't end up getting into an issue, a major issue that's irreversible with global warming.
Andrew Hallam, author of Millionaire Expat and Millionaire Teacher. Fantastic to have you back in the UAE and in our studio. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much, Brandy.
Dubai Eye 103.8 presents an array of independent expert opinions and does not advise one particular view. Always seek independent legal advice which considers your own personal circumstances.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.